Today we're going to be looking at something that's close to my heart and something that God has been teaching me of late, measuring Jesus. And when I was putting together this sermon title, I said, I'm giving away what my whole topic is at the start itself. Like, y'all can might as well just leave and y'all already know what I'm going to be talking about. I think it's still interesting for us to really spend some time just looking at what God would want to speak to us today. And I think while my title is a giveaway, the image that we have on the screen is not a giveaway in any way whatsoever. Because if you notice, there's everything up there except Jesus. So we're saying treasuring Jesus, and there are images of everything up there in terms of possession, job, music or hobbies, finances, but there's no Jesus up there. Okay, and so I'm just going to help us to look at this a little further today. So I was going through BBC website a few weeks ago, and there was this really interesting story saying that in an island or in the Seychelles group of islands, there's this one treasure that's been hidden worth $100 million. Okay? It's been hidden over there for the last 300 years, and no one has been able to find it yet. However, there are these two men who have given their life to finding this treasure. The father lived all his life trying to find this treasure. He was called the treasure man. He passed away in 1977. And when he passed away, his son was all of 18 years old. And all his life, the only thing that he had heard or he knew about was about this treasure. And so when the father passed away, he took this upon himself, saying, I'm going to take this ahead. And he's also called the treasure man. And he's also got his father's legacy. His name is John. And it's very interesting that he says that he's poured all his life's energy, savings, time, everything into finding this treasure. He's prioritized finding this treasure. And he says something very interesting. He says, I found the mental treasure. The physical treasure now is all that remains. Okay? And as a Boy Scout from a school close by, I remember those times where we went treasure hunting all across town looking for this treasure that our scout head had hidden just to help us to learn mapping, etc. And I remember we used to be out till the wee hours of the morning going from Church Gate to VT to Gateway, just trying to find that elusive treasure. The Bible doesn't teach us about a mental treasure or a physical treasure. The Bible talks to us about a spiritual or a heavenly treasure. And the beautiful thing is that the Bible tells us that this treasure is not elusive. It's hidden in plain sight. And the Bible encourages us, even exhorts us, to find this treasure at any cost. And the best thing is, the Bible has even given us the guidelines to find this treasure. So what is this treasure that the Bible is talking about? And I'm just going to help us look at the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Join with me, and I'll just read it out for us. It says, and as he was setting out on his journey, a rich young man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said to Jesus, "Teacher, I've done all these things from my youth. What is it that I still lack?" And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for this man had great possessions. Just join with me and we'll pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to come before you and learn about finding this great treasure. I pray that at the end of our time together, that you would enable us to learn more about finding this treasure. I pray that it'll be something that you would be speaking to into our hearts this morning. I pray for myself, Lord, that this will first apply to me. Would you enable me to apply to my life? And I pray that whatever I share will be not out of my wisdom, but out of what you want to speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Great. So even as we go through this passage, I'm willing to bet that you have some objections that the passage throws up. So the young man has lived a really good life, or so the passage tells us. But he still feels he lacks eternal life. And the question isn't good works enough for eternal life? And the second thing that we could perhaps look at this morning is great possessions. What's the problem with having great possessions? It seems to me somewhere like having these great possessions was the turning point literally for that young man, where he turned away and walked away from Jesus. So let's look at this young man's request. Okay, it says he came running to Jesus, and it tells us that he didn't come and ask Jesus, "How can I get more wealth?" He didn't tell Jesus, "I have X amount, how can I triple this amount?" He doesn't come to Jesus and says, "I need more knowledge." He doesn't come to Jesus and say, "I need more friends, I need more fame." He comes to Jesus and he says, "I need eternal life." This young man really desired eternal life. So let's evaluate what perhaps this young man thought eternal life was. So because he's a rich young man, I'm assuming he had the best horse or donkey at that time, the best breed. I'm assuming he had the best food, the best money could buy. I'm assuming he's got a lavish house with plenty of servants. Clearly, from what we see from this passage, he loved his wealth and he loved his life. He was living the good life. However, he still recognized something that's important for us to note today. He probably recognized that naked he came into this earth and naked he was going to leave. He realized that in all his wealth, he could not purchase eternal life. He realized that all his money wasn't enough to get that eternal life. I'm just thinking, why was he so desperate for eternal life? Why not just live happily in this life with all the money that he has? Enjoy it. What's the big deal about eternal life? And even as I was looking through this, the thought came to my mind that perhaps he wanted a good life after death as well. He wanted the same kind of enjoyment that he was living now with a lot of wealth, a lot of money. He wanted something similar after death as well. Perhaps he was even afraid of death and what comes after that. I'm going to venture and say, in some way, he's not very different from us. We all have thoughts of what comes after death. He wanted to find out, or he wanted to ensure a good life or life after death. Now you might say, Stephen, what is wrong with wanting a good eternity? What's the problem with that? He's not being selfish. He just wants a good eternity. And for that, I think it's good for us to go back and look at what is, how does the Bible describe eternal life for us? And the biblical view of eternal life is up here with two verses, one of which we looked at today. It says, Jesus tells him, go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures, and come follow me. When he asks Jesus for eternal life, this is what Jesus replies. Interestingly, Jesus didn't tell him eternal life starts after this life. He said, come follow me. There's another verse in John 17:3 where it exactly explains what eternal life. It says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And when I studied these two, I had a blast studying these two passages, honestly. Because there was so much that I could draw out from here, and I'm really looking forward to being able to share it with us. So allow me to unpack this for us. So then eternal life means a life where I treasure Jesus and not my earthly possessions. Eternal life is a life where I treasure Jesus and not my earthly possessions. It's an opportunity to be a follower of Jesus for eternity. Okay, it's an opportunity to be a follower of Jesus for eternity. But the best thing is, it's an opportunity to have a daily love relationship with Jesus that starts in this life and continues for eternity. That's why Jesus told that guy, come follow me. You can live the good life with me, where it's about me in this life, and we can continue this journey together for the rest of eternity. It's about getting to know and falling in love with the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day for eternity. Okay? And I assure you, there's enough beauty in Christ for you to feel him afresh each and every day for eternity. And what was the young man's reaction? I'm willing to bet that this was not the young man's understanding of eternal life. Because when this was presented to him, he rejected it. The Bible says, disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was seeking a comfortable eternity. He wasn't seeking Jesus. So I want us to look at something else. What about living with great possessions? What is the problem with having great possessions? I think, unfortunately, we've moved to a world where anybody who has great possessions is looked at with the wrong lens. I don't see a problem in great possessions in itself. And I'm sure for some of us who might have thought or heard that Christianity does not encourage us to have great possessions, it could be a turn off for you. And I don't blame you. But I want to assure you that Jesus never encouraged us not to do well in life. He never encouraged us saying that the problem is having money. He said the problem lies elsewhere. And I think the question for us is, do I treasure these great possessions or do I steward them? Okay, do I treasure these great possessions or do I steward them? I think the problem with treasuring great possessions is that it leads us to miss out on a much greater possession. But more on that later. Someone who has accepted Christ's offer of eternal life will always be a great steward of great possessions. Okay? Someone who has accepted Christ's offer of eternal life will be a great steward of great possessions because his treasure is Christ and not the possession. Okay? And so, I just wanted us to look at what does it mean to steward great possessions? It means that I'm willing to give up this great possession and sell all that I have to give it because that's why Christ has given it to me in the first place. To be a blessing to others and not a blessing to myself. The blessing to me is supposed to be Christ and not possessions. So I think it's a good point for us to maybe look at how are we stewarding the finances that we have. And I'm not referring to only whether we are tithing regularly. Tithing being what Jesus encouraged us to give 10%, or rather even commanded us to give 10% as a minimum amount, as accepting that all our money that we have is given to us by belong to us in itself. I think there is a very clear direction from this passage about giving to the poor. And I'm not talking about when we're stopping at the traffic light and the underprivileged comes and knocks on the lid down or on your window, you roll down and you give them a 10 rupee note. I'm not talking about giving to the poor that way. I'm talking about intentionally giving away on a monthly basis to the underprivileged. Or at least intentionally setting away a sum of money on a monthly basis so that when somebody who's underprivileged needs it, I have the money to give it to them. I think it's a good point for us to introspect and look at what am I doing with my money. So moving on. So Jesus told him one thing. He said, give it away to the poor. And the second he said was, and you will have heavenly treasure. So what is this heavenly treasure? Okay. Remember I said the Bible told us about a spiritual treasure or a heavenly treasure. So what is this heavenly treasure? So it speaks to us in Matthew 6. Verses 19 to 21, it says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. So I think all of us at some point of time would have invested money somewhere, right? In a house, in a car, fixed deposit, somewhere. And I think the one thing that we always look for while investing is good returns. Yeah? Has anybody invested money and said, I can't care how much I get back? Yeah? That's the basic of investing money, right? What are the kind of returns that I'm going to get? And I think perhaps one of the misconceptions that we have at different points of time in life is saying that good works is the treasure. I think at some times of life, a successful career is a treasure for us. And sometimes a good conscience is a treasure. People's approval is the treasure. I dare to say sometimes even happiness is. But if the Bible says that heavenly treasure is something that's not going to pass away, then I have to ask ourselves, everything that I'm treasuring just now, what's the validity of that? How long is it going to keep satisfying me? Is it going to last for eternity? I think we must ask ourselves, even in this life, will I get returns on these investments? Forget eternity. Fame. How long is it going to last us for? What's it going to get us? I think we also have to ask ourselves an important question. Have I been moving from one treasure to another, each time feeling let down a little more? I treasure something, I find out it's not valuable, I move to the other, I find it's not valuable, I move to the third. And I remember this time in life where, for me, my career was really important at about 22, 23. And I had a rough couple of 6 months and it stopped giving me that kick anymore. Okay, and I said, this treasure business and career is not working. And so I said, you know what, Stephen, you've never had a relationship before. Why not give it a shot and see, you know what, maybe the relationship would be something that you can treasure, you can feel good about. Unfortunately, 2 years later, I landed up in a worse place than when I first started. The career didn't turn up being the treasure. The relationship turned out worse. And so I would encourage us here that if we are looking to relationships to be our treasure, good conscience, good works, people's approval, our career, maybe it's a point for us to stop and look at the validity of these things that we are treasuring. Are they going to give us good returns in this life? Are they going to give us any returns in our next life? So I'm going to present to you what now is this heavenly treasure that the Bible is talking about. So you've probably said, Stephen, you've debunked everything. So what am I left with? Okay. I think the Bible speaks to us where it says, eternal life with Christ is the enduring treasure. Because the object of your treasure is going to last for eternity. Christ is the one who lasts for eternity. So you're probably saying, Stephen, what is this big thing about Christ? Why should Christ be the eternal treasure? Why is eternal life with him so valuable? What's the big deal? And I was so blessed that that Asha read this out today, because it's something that's an really important part of what I have for us today. And it's saying that God so loves the world, his only Son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world. What a deep and passionate expression of love. Have you ever heard anyone making such an emphatic statement on endearment? God so loved the world. That's telling me that Christ treasures us. Christ passionately treasures us. I want to tell you this morning, Christ is mad about you. He's so mad about you that he even gave his own life for you. Do we have anybody in our life like that who loves us that much? And the beautiful thing about Christ is that while he's treasuring me and loving me, he's doing it so that I can have eternal life with him. A daily love relationship with Jesus that starts in this life and lasts to eternity. That's why Christ treasures us. That's what he did for us. And I just want us to look at this morning, where we all know how it feels to be really loved by someone, right? I think our mothers, and today's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day to all the mothers over here. Thank you for being such a blessing to us as a community. Especially even the mothers who are not here, just for bringing us up and being such a blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless you all. I think we've all experienced a mother really loving us and treasuring us. But this experience of being passionately loved and treasured is complete only when we love and treasure back. And so the experience of God loving you so much that he sent Jesus is only complete for you when you're able to love and treasure Jesus back for eternity. Okay? Basically, Jesus was offering this to the young man, an opportunity to experience being treasured by Jesus and treasuring Jesus back on a daily basis for eternity, an investment that would never pass away. The young man chose his money. And so I think it's a good point for us to take a step back and look at, as for those of us who are followers of Jesus, how can I enjoy continue being treasured by Jesus and treasuring Jesus on a daily relationship? I think it's very clear that once we put our faith in Jesus, we become his treasure. He loves on us passionately, and the Bible even says that he's forever interceding before the Father for us. Not only did he die for you, not only did he build that relation or bridge that relationship with you, not only did he give you eternity, he's forever speaking to the Father on our behalf. Christ is the best advocate that you could ever have. And for those of us who are experiencing this of being treasured by Jesus and treasuring Jesus back, I think one thing that perhaps we need to look at is our prayer life. Okay? The young man came to Jesus with a request. When Jesus responded to that request, he lost interest. And I know for myself that very often I've made self-seeking, selfish requests to God, and God's given a different response. He's asked me to even make self-surrendering requests. When Jesus taught us to pray, he said, "Our Father who art in heaven," he said, this is how you should pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done." He didn't say, when you pray, go to the Father and say, "Father God, this is what I want, it's part of my plans, my ambitions, can you make it happen?" Okay? It's about making self-surrendering requests. And I think that's an important part of enjoying this love relationship with Jesus. Because remember, Jesus is a God who surrendered himself for us. It wasn't self-seeking on that cross in any way whatsoever. It was all self-surrender. I think the next thing that we can look at is, am I growing in prioritizing Christ over other things? Am I growing in prioritizing Christ over other things? In the Bible, there's this beautiful verse where it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I think if the young man had stayed on, this perhaps would be what Jesus told him. You can't serve me and your money. Take your pick. In Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up this and follow me. And I want to present this for us this morning. Like the young man, Christ asks us to lay down what stands in the way of us treasuring him daily. As followers of Jesus, Christ encourages us to lay down what is standing in the way of treasuring him daily. Because if I can't treasure Christ in this life, of what use is eternity with him? And I think we've all had these situations where you've gone to a new college or a new course, you made new friends, you're spending more time with those new friends, you're doing a lot of projects with them, and then you get into this massive fight with your school friend who says you've forgotten me. Yeah? Are we getting a sense of that? I think most of us would have gone through that. And then you have this big, tearful reunion, and you recommit to spending time together and a life ever after. Okay? But Jesus is that one friend who, when you prioritize, he'll teach you how to love your other friends better. I assure you, the more time you spend with Jesus, the happier your friends will be. Because Jesus will teach you how to love your friends better. And for me personally, my favorite football club is Man United. I think it's a challenge for me in terms of, do I prioritize Jesus over a Man United match? Tomorrow, if somebody calls me for a time of prayer and it's like a major final, what do I choose? And it's something that I've struggled before. It's something I'm still struggling with. I don't stand here perfect. Okay? But I do know that Christ is constantly speaking to me about how much am I prioritizing my loyalty as a fan of Man United versus my loyalty as a follower of Jesus. I think in terms of being a daily follower of Jesus means we need to be empowered on a daily basis to make those decisions that lead us to treasuring Jesus over other things. And Felix already spoke about it this morning, and I think Ruchi and myself have been with New City for the last 1 year, and I think by far one of the things that we've been most blessed by in growing in our relationship with Jesus has been CBR. And I think to be able to make a daily decision to prioritize Christ over other things, I need to receive that daily strength and empowerment from God. And I know for us personally, for both of us, CBR has been a great tool, especially because in CBR, I'm not searching scripture. I'm allowing scripture to search me. I love the way Anand says it, where he says that we come under scripture. It's so beautiful. And I think even as I'm doing CBR, God asked me questions like, are you making self-surrendering requests or self-seeking requests? God asked me, what have you been prioritizing of late? I think CBR has been a great tool that's enabled Ruchi and me to grow in relationship with Jesus. And I don't want to stand here as an advocate of CBR, because very clearly CBR is just a tool. Okay, it works for me, but there are other tools out there that will work for us as well. Okay, so I'm not preaching CBR as gospel truth at all. So that's for us who are believers, who are followers of Christ. Watch our prayer life. Look at whether we are prioritizing Christ over other things, and where are we getting our daily empowerment from. But what about for those of us who aren't yet followers of Jesus? How can we grow, or how can we begin to, how can we even attain eternal life? I think so far we've probably looked at why eternal life is valuable. Enjoying a daily relationship with Jesus. Why is it so beautiful? Jesus treasures us. But how can I attain eternal life? How can I get this opportunity to be a follower of Jesus for eternity? And I think that the Bible's been very clear where it says that no man is perfect and sin has separated us from God. And that's been the story for all of us here, until we had to come to Jesus and say, you're the treasure worthwhile. My sin has separated me from you, and only you can fix this. So can you do this for me? So while we are saying that the impact of sin is separation from God, I do want to recognize that the concept of sin is challenging for most of us. What is sin? Who decides what sin is? Why should my sin decide whether I get to eternal life or not? And I just want to look, I want us to have a look at this passage itself. What is this young man's sin? What's the sin he's done? There's no adultery in there. What does it say? It says he didn't commit murder, he didn't commit adultery, he didn't steal, he didn't bear false witness, he didn't defraud, he was good to his parents. In fact, he even honored them. I think perhaps I've committed more misdeeds than this young man. But you know what? The beautiful thing is that even this young man recognized that good works was not enough to get eternal life. When Jesus said, this are the commandments, he's like, I've done this. What do I still lack? Can you hear the anguish in his voice? He's like, I kept the commandments. Isn't that enough? And I think the response to that is to go earlier to that passage where Jesus tells the young man, no one is good except God alone. And then Jesus tells him the commandments, and he recognized that following the commandments was to get him eternal life. You can realize that the young man had been brought to a recognition that good works is not enough for eternal life. He recognized that good works would never get him to God's standard of goodness. He recognized he needed something more to get him to eternal life. And I think at different points of time, we would have heard of the cycle of good works and feeling that good works is enough. But my question to us is, aren't our good works interspersed by mess-ups? We are all on, in life, at different points of time, we've all been in the cycle where we thought good works were enough, and then we messed up, and then we did good again, and then we messed up again, and then good and messed up again, and we are in this whole cycle of good works and bad works. But where is it taking us? Is it taking us anywhere closer to eternal life? I think the best news this morning is that Jesus is the only way to break out of this circle or the cycle of good works and bad works. It's only through accepting that Jesus died for our sins and that when we go before him in repentance, can we attain God's standard of goodness. We can't give until we attain God's standard of goodness, and we can't attain God's standard of goodness through our good works. It's only through Jesus' death on the cross and putting our faith in Jesus' death on the cross can I reach God's standard of goodness. It's not through my good works. It's through imputed righteousness of Christ, the good and perfect one, who gave himself on the cross so that he could give to me a righteousness that I could never earn for myself. Isn't it a much more beautiful cycle to be a part of, where we're enjoying being treasured by Jesus who died for us and treasuring him back on a daily basis that's going to last us for eternity? I think the first step for the young man would be believing in Jesus' sacrifice. And then the next step would be entering into this heart-fulfilling journey of being treasured by Jesus and treasuring him back eternity. No wonder he was disheartened as he walked away. He was missing out on the eternal treasure. He was choosing his money. And I think, even in closing, I think perhaps this is the challenge with treasuring great possessions. They lead us to miss out on an even greater possession or even greater treasure of being in a relationship with Jesus for this morning. In closing, I just want to tell us that Jesus is offering each of us eternal life this morning. This beautiful relationship, walking hand in hand with Jesus for eternity. I pray for each of us that we won't walk away disheartened like this young man.